Sometimes, as we're sharing the gospel with unsaved friends or family members, we're met with resistance or even hostility. What do we do next? Here's Pastor Jeff.
We are to discriminate, to understand that we are to make some judgment calls here. It's not don't judge anybody at any time. That's ridiculous. Don't judge like the Pharisees. But yes, we're to discriminately walk through this world and be fruit inspectors and give out a little bit. And if they don't receive it, turn, knock the dust off, and go to someone else.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless love.
Hey, welcome to another Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. We return to the Sermon on the Mount today. Some would have you believe that we're never to judge, but as we'll learn today, Jesus really never taught that. As we travel through life, we'll need to make some judgment calls and discriminate. We're just not to do it like the Pharisees of old. If you need to leave us early, just drop by oneplace.com or sounddoctrineradio.org. Now here's Pastor Jeff with part two of Is Discrimination Scriptural?
So we're to be sensitive. We're to be careful that others don't trample the truth. And yet there are still going to be those that continue to trample the truth even as we give it out. There are just some people that are just so stubborn and they could care less. So don't be obnoxious. Don't try and force the witness. I think we need to be flexible. I love what Jude says. Jude Verse 22, he says, "And some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." And so when you witness, you give some love, the love of God, the death of Christ, and just all that he did for us on Calvary. And they're just sitting there and they're listening and they're going, "Wow, he did that for me," and they're comprehending it, they're taking it in, and you're seeing that it's happening, it's working. But then I went out on the construction site and with those construction workers, and I tried to do the same thing, give them the, you know, Christ crucified and resurrected and how he loves you. And they said, "Ah, get out of here." So then I said, "You know what it says in Revelation?" "What?" And then I started telling them about what's going to happen. And they said, "Tell us more." And they were freaked out. They were just going, "You're kidding. Well, look what just happened over here. And look at this prophecy fulfilled." They're going, "What? Now, what do you think is going to happen to the world? What's going to happen to people, you know?" And you start giving them that other side, and they really are listening. Some people need to hear that. So some, we give them agape. The others, we give them the wrath of God. Some are going to trample, like I said. But then again... their blood is upon themselves because they have heard. So make sure it's not because of you that they're trampling. And I think another important point here is that they need only hear the gospel. And I think that's why he calls about casting your pearls before swine, that which is holy to God. And that is the gospel. They just need to hear the gospel. We're justified by faith, remember. So they need to hear the power of God into salvation, which is the preaching of the cross. Do you remember the Samaritan woman? She asked all kinds of religious questions to Jesus. "Well, what about this? What about that?" You know how people, when you're witnessing to them, they'll say, "Well, what about the pygmies? You know, what about this? What about that?" You know, and they always want to get off and talk about Jimmy Swaggart or whatever. And you're going, "Oh, man." And what did Jesus do with her? He kept bringing her right back to that which she really needed. And what was that? She needed to be born again. Because unless you're born again, you can't understand all these other things. Let's not talk about anything else but the gospel and your reception of the gospel, and then we'll go on from there. And then I'd be glad to answer your questions. Because then you'll have insight. Then you'll have an openness. But until then, no, you need to be born again. Now here Jesus shows us the devastating effects of sin in respect to the truth. At one time, think about it, we were dogs and we were swine. Do you remember those dog day years? Do you remember when you were a dog? When you were a swine? When you rejected? When you rebelled? When you could care less? I mean, sin is devastating. We were at war with God. In fact, Titus, he hits it right on the head. Titus says in Titus 3, verse 3, he says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared." But then all of a sudden we got it, you know? All of a sudden we realized, God loves me. He gave His Son for me. He died on a cross for me, that my sins would be forgiven. And my life is forever changed. So as we give out the truth, some will snarl, some will reject. They're opposed to God. They're unclean, so to speak. They hate and live in an incorruptible ungodliness. Or actually not incorruptible, but a corruptible ungodliness. That's how they live. And that's how we once lived. And we need to understand that. Sometimes I think we forget. You remember in Psalm 73 that we read this morning? As David went into the sanctuary of the Lord, he understood their way, that in a moment they could be taken out. They're sitting in slippery places, that they could die of a brain aneurysm or whatever without Christ, a Christless, you know, grave, a Christless death without God forever and ever. And when you begin to understand the unsaved condition of man, that he is Satan's dupe and he's used by the enemy, he's perverted, he's polluted by sin, and he's deceived, and that he doesn't appreciate holiness, that he's become a dog or a swine. Once I think we realize this, then we can begin to help them. Then we can have compassion upon them instead of just going into a room and saying, "Bunch of sinners. Wow, these filthy people. Look at them drinking and smoking. Wish they get their act together, you know." And we walk in there in all our pharisaical colors and in our big pomp, you know. "Yeah, I'm a Christian. Give me just water. I'll take a 7-Up. You know, and where do you get that? "Well, I'm not like them." Well, that's exactly what the Pharisee said. And God didn't even hear his prayers. That's an attitude we want to stay way away from. We want to be able to say, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And intercede for them. These need to become a new creation like we became a new creation. To take on that new nature. When we received the Lord, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And yet we received the Lord and He quickened our dead spirit and made us alive. That can happen with them. Happened with us. Remember this, that people are different. And so is God's truths. They're holy. They're pearls. And to those without Christ, it's different when we share with them than those who are young Christians and immature in the faith. It's different how we share with them. And it goes on and on and on. There's a different ways. Over in Hebrews, in chapter 5, listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. I believe it's Paul. He says in chapter 5, verse 12, "For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one that comes back and teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." I wanted to give you strong meat, but I couldn't. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. He's young in Christ. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, those that are mature, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, we need to use our gifts. We need to be a doer, not just a hearer. Sometimes babes are hearers, and a doer is the meat. You see, it's when you get what I'm saying and you begin to practice it and do it that you become a mature saint. You know, my work is to do the will of my Father. That's the meat, guys. That's when you know you're maturing in your faith, when you take what God gives to you and puts in your heart, and you're not just religious out there, but you've got a relationship that you're sharing with others. That's powerful. Then he goes on to say in Hebrews 6, 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works, and faith toward God. So let's grow up. Let's mature. Let's hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says that we're to be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And unbelievers are spiritually ignorant of holy things. They have no idea how precious the pearls that they're listening to are. The pearls of truth, the gospel. How powerful, if it's received, how their life will be forever changed. They have no idea. And so we need to continue on until we see them reject it. And then you, what? Kick the dust off your feet and go on to the next person. And that's exactly what the Lord has taught us. And that's over in Matthew 10, 14. And then going on in Acts, let's see how the disciples handled this whole thing of this rejection thing. In Acts chapter 18, let me read it to you. In verse 5, he says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. And when they opposed themselves, they blasphemed. He shook his raiment, and he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. I told you, I shared it with you, and now you got to deal with it. I'm just going to go tell somebody else now who's going to be receptive. Listen, if God's word, especially Paul's epistles, now listen to what I'm saying. If they do not speak to you and you're not growing nor understanding the truths of God in your own walk with the Lord, you need to cry out to God, personally speaking. You're not growing. You're not going on. You need to ask him for a hunger and a desire for more of the things of God, because you've sort of plateaued off and you're just a young Christian that's staying young and you're not experiencing the abundant life. It's about time we started to mature in our faith. And we started to be concerned about that. That if this Bible is not ministering to you on a daily basis, a weekly basis, and you're growing in the things of God, then you've plateaued off, you've received Christ, but you're going to just dry up. You need the living water. You need to be encouraged. And you need to desire the things of God. To go from the milk to the meat. And finally, is what Jesus is saying here in verse 6, is he's saying that we need to be careful how we distribute the word, how we give it out. And I believe that he is saying, be careful. Paul declared that he gave God's full counsel to the brethren. And he was concerned that he did that. Did that exact same thing that he gave them from Genesis to Revelation. But he didn't have all through the New Testament, but he gave them all the Old Testament. And he gave them anything that was available, the Gospels, whatever, the whole full counsel. It was to those who had ears to hear. Now, do you remember the eunuch who was coming from Jerusalem? He didn't understand what he was reading. Philip preached Jesus to him. You see, God always uses somebody to do this, whether it's a pastor, teacher, whether it's a lay person, but God uses human instruments. And I think that's something we need to consider here, because that's the way that God explains it to the others around. That's the way that there's fruit from the Word of God, is that it's shared with us to a point of we're understanding it. That's the important part, isn't it? That you guys get this, what I'm saying this morning, what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, that you have ears to hear what's really being said. But there's an instrument being used, and yet it's the word coming through the instrument that really causes it to happen. Understood. I think this is why we only give the Gospel of John to those who come forward, to those who go into the prayer room, who receive Christ. We just give them a little paperback Gospel of John. Now, some places just give them a little booklet. We go a little bit further than that. We give them a little booklet on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and a few things, questions as far as a Bible study. And then we give the Gospel of John. Now, what are we doing by doing that? Well, we're not going to give them the whole ball of wax at first. Here's a little taste. We're hoping that you're going to get such a thirst that you're going to go through that Gospel of John and say, that's it? I don't just want a paperback of the Gospel of John. Give me a King James version. Now, they got the new King James. It's easier to read, but I won't go to the other versions. I'm a diehard, and that means that I love King James. And I believe that, and I'm praying that those that get the Gospel of John will go to the King James. And they'll begin to say, wow, now this is the Word of God. And these are the precious truths. And they begin to feed upon those holy pearls of truth. The Jews used to be the custodians of the Word of God. They used to be the expositors of the Word of God. Now, guess who's doing it? Who is given the responsibility now? Anybody know? The church. That's us. We've been given this duty, this mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to share the truths that will set men free. It's been given to the church. Is the church doing it? That's the important part, that we give out these pearls. May God convict us of our laziness. May He give us a desire and a hunger for His Word, to rightly divide it, to meditate in it, that we might be that man or woman that prospers in whatsoever we do, Psalm 1, that we would give it out properly. See, there's a way to give it out properly. There's a right way and a wrong way. And there's some people that are giving it out just wasting their breath. And that's a shame. I really believe in friendship evangelism. I believe that's one good way. And even when we have the freedom celebration, you bring a friend, right? Is that friendship evangelism or what? Yeah, it is. Or you bring somebody to church and you invite them to come. Just hear. Just listen. And what is that? That's doing the same thing. Maybe, you know, you've shared a little witness to them, but now you want them to get the full sense of what it means to decide for God and to live for the Lord and to receive Christ as Savior. Wow, that's heavy. This is the greatest need that I see today in this world. And I love what it says in Nehemiah. Let me just read it to you real quick. He says in Nehemiah 8, verse 8, "And so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and they gave the sense of what they were reading. And they caused them to understand the reading." And this is the most powerful verse. In other words, they read the word distinctly. They just went verse by verse and went right down. And then they gave the sense of the meaning of it. And so the people were understanding the Word of God. And then in verse 9 it says, and they just went, oh my gosh, they started to weep. They started to cry. They started to see that God was speaking to them. And they responded with just such conviction. It was almost like with Isaiah, you know, when he went into the presence of the Lord in Isaiah 6. All of a sudden he says, I'm an unclean man with unclean lips. I'm before a holy God. And he was convicted. He confessed his sin. And God forgave him. And he consecrated his life to the Lord. And then he heard his commission. The Lord said, go tell this people. There's nothing like being called of God, chosen of God, and hearing that call. So Lord, make us like Priscilla and Aquila. Remember when they shared the Word of God more perfectly, it says, with Apollos. They wanted to really let him understand what was coming down here. That you need to be born again, Apollos. You know about the Bible. Oh, you know a lot about the Bible. But you have yet to receive Jesus. And unless you receive Jesus, there's no change of your life. No change of your heart. No change of your natural man. You're going to continue to be a natural man. But you can be a spiritual man. Receive Jesus. They took time with him. And then Philip took time with the eunuch. And he started, may God help us. He started in Isaiah and he preached Jesus to him. Out of the very same place that he was reading. That we would be able to do that. That we could open the Old Testament and preach Jesus from the Old Testament to those around us that need to hear that. To help others understand. But to see this, as I close now, I'm going to share one more scripture. We are to discriminate. To understand that we are to make some judgment calls here. It's not, don't judge anybody at any time. That's ridiculous. Don't judge like the Pharisees. But yes, we're to discriminately walk through this world and be fruit inspectors and give out a little bit. And if they don't receive it, turn, knock the dust off, and go to someone else. But I love this. In 2 Timothy, again, Paul talking to the young pastor Timothy, and he says in chapter 4, in verse 2, preach the word, he says. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Now, how are you going to rebuke unless you discriminate? And then he says, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're just going to want to hear the good stuff. They're not going to want to hear about sin and conviction and getting off the path. They're going to want to hear about that. They just want to hear about how rich you can get, how you're never going to get sick. And isn't that what David stumbled at? You know, these people never get sick. No, they got sick. They all died. All of them. 10 out of 10 die? But he wasn't looking at that. He was deceived. And he even wanted to, he even thought, you know, why have I even become a godly man? Maybe it's all for nothing. What? And then he went into the sanctuary of the Lord and he woke up and he said, oh, I'm so glad. I'm sitting in a solid place. I have blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven divine. I know the Lord. I know where I'm going. But then he says, these guys, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But you watch. You be careful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of your ministry. And may God help us to get our hands on the plow and serve the Lord and be witnesses for him and be bold in his word, because it comes through instruments such as us. As we are out in the workforce and the marketplace and in the schools, it comes from us to those around us. And that's how it continues to grow and multiply. When God's people catch it and are truly converted, they can strengthen the brethren. And we need to strengthen those around us. And see more and more people come to know the Lord, huh? To have a hunger for that. Not to judge the unsaved in the way the Pharisees would, but to minister to them in meekness.
We've been answering the question, is discrimination scriptural? Today on Sound Doctrine, it's just part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's study in Matthew. Get today's study on CD when you call us toll-free at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, 800-353-7553. You can also replay any message that you enjoy at sounddoctrineradio.org and listen to Pastor Jeff through the Sound Doctrine podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We're also on oneplace.com. Marijuana, self-realization, meditation, self-hypnosis, psychedelic drugs, yoga. Jeff Johnson tried all of that and more in his search for the clear light, but it wasn't until he met Jesus that his life truly changed, and he experienced life and light. In his book, The Seeker, you'll hear this amazing testimony, and I think you'll be left greatly encouraged and thankful. We're offering The Seeker right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call us at 800-353-7553. Sound Doctrine is listener-supported. Simply put, it takes a team to accomplish this goal of reaching people around the world with the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. Whether it's a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support, God is using it in great ways to impact people with His life-changing truth. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you've been blessed as you've studied along with Pastor Jeff, please let us know. Email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please mention the station that you listen to and tell us what the Lord is doing in your life. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Come back next time when we'll have another study in Matthew's Gospel for you here on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff, a presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father.